SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football Circle. I'm Scott Wetzel. Alongside is George Kurtz as we talk NFL for the next 60 minutes. And you know what? I'm going to make a promise, George. No Aaron Rodgers, no draft talk, no mock draft talk anyway. That's all been beaten to death over the last 2-3 weeks, and rightfully so. And it'll continue to get beaten to death until we hear from Aaron, until we actually get to draft day. So how about just talking little NFL? Just step back, two guys, just schmoozing little NFL football for the next 60 in the beginning of April. Why not? How about Mahomes props that they can't seemingly miss? Flag football, anyone? Tush push lives on for another day. Cowboys and Parsons close to a deal. Overtime rules change. We'll get to it all over the next 60 minutes or so. What's going on, George? How are you today?
Yeah, right. That was the big news yesterday, right? I am doing well. Good. It's a fun time of year in the sports industry, right? NHL, NBA playoffs starting up here. We do have the NFL draft and 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks, whatever it might be here. All right, it's about, and baseball just started here. So it's definitely one of my favorite times of year. And as you mentioned yesterday, we had the NFL meetings here. You said tush push, overtime. They changed some other little law rules here. We'll see how this all works out in the end. And they're actually going to use Hawkeye to determine, ball placement. They're not going to have a chip in the ball, but they're going to use Hawkeye to determine where the ball should be placed.
Yeah, they did tweak some rules a little bit yesterday, that being one of them. You know, let's start with that, George. Overtime rules change. It's not getting as much fanfare as I thought it would. It's a big change. Now both teams, like they do in the postseason, both teams now will get the football. So you still got to be a 10-minute overtime. So I'm assuming if the team A scores first team with a touchdown, team B, I would have liked for them to said, okay, if Team B scores, then you got to get a go for the 2-point conversion. Well, let's not end this thing in a tie. That's the goal with overtime, right? We really don't want ties. So if Team A scores a touchdown, Team B scores a touchdown, then you got to go for two, and we'll just end the football game. But I kind of like the old rule. I like the college rules. I really do. Give me the ball at the 35-yard line and play until you drop. Simple as that. But what about the overtime rule changes? What do you think about that?
There is no perfect solution to the overtime. So no matter what you do, people are going to complain and bitch about it, right? No matter what you do. I didn't have a problem with the original rule. Didn't have a problem. They tweak it. Don't really have a problem with this one either here, giving both teams a chance with the ball here. The two-point conversion thing you brought up, never really thought about that, but that's interesting. You know, you have to go for the win. Let's not play for a tie here. I don't think I would have been against that either. But like I said, bottom line is fine. I wish they would have made it 15 minutes, not 10. That's the one difference from playoff overtime, where it'll be a full quarter regular season. It will still be 10 minutes here. So it is what it is. Trying to think in my head, I guess you still want the ball first, right? So you put the pressure on the second team there. Plus, theoretically, they could have less time as well, right? Because you got the full 10 minutes. They may only have 3 minutes, whatever it comes down to. So you have your full playbook. They do not. So all in all, I'm okay with it. You know, both teams getting the ball does seem fair. But, Scott, I was also somebody, you know what? You play overtime, you give up a touchdown, too damn bad. You deserve to lose.
I always say, George, why not just extend the fourth quarter? Just pretend it's the third quarter going into the fourth quarter. This way, you know, what stinks a lot of times is the team scores a touchdown to send the game to overtime. They get the ball first, they score again, and they win the game. And it just seems, so unfair for the team that had the lead. Why not just extend the game? So whoever has the ball in the final couple of minutes of a tie game, you get the ball first, and you go to overtime. And if you score first, ball game over. I mean, you would still have some drama as far as, you know, going against the clock. But I think that's actually the best way to go. Just extend the game. And you know what? If you don't have the ball, too bad. That's the nature flow of the game. If Team B has the football and they take it into overtime, they score first, ball game over. That's honestly how I would do it. If I was the commissioner, I had, you know, all the power to be, just extend the game. I know it would tweak things, the sense of urgency and calling timeouts with 2 minutes left. You don't have to do all that anymore. But I still think that would be there to a certain extent. Just pretend the game is continuing. That's all. Hi, George. I know you're talking, but I'm having some technical difficulties. Didn't quite catch all that.
I was saying I don't think the NFL would do that. I think it's too drastic for them to do it. Although I am interested in seeing how it would play out. I do think it would be I just don't think the NFL is so, you know, it's the old man's club, right? They're all 89, you know, 80 plus years old. They're not going to do something that crazy. But it is something interesting. Right. I think they would need to see it in like the AFL or the UFL. They would need to see it someplace else first. Say, oh, it is works out. The fans do like that, that sort of thing. So I don't think they'll do it, but it would be somewhat interesting.
Yeah. You know, you brought up, you know, let's say it does go the way they're going to plan it now, obviously. So you win the coin toss. Do you want the ball first or no? The only reason you wanted the ball first last time is you score a touchdown, you win the game, right? Now that's not going to be the case. So is it better for you to give the opposing team the ball? They score, now you have the ball, and you know how much you're going to have to get, whether it's 3 points, 7 points, or you know. So now, I still think you would rather – I think it would flip now, George. I think it's better to be on defense because if the opposing team scores three, you need to score a field goal. So now you got four downs to get a first down. Whereas if you have the ball first, you don't get a first down after three downs. You're probably punting. So I think it does flip it.
If you trust your defense, yes. But if you don't, because if you have an average defense or even saying, okay, you know, even slightly better, what if they take a 7 minute drive, 8 minute drive?
That's
which you see all the time. Right. You're running. That's the only negative I can see about not taking the ball first would be time of possession. You know, that they go on a long drive, even you know, a 6.5 minute field goal. Well, now you got 3.5 minutes. I understand 3.5, fine. It is plenty of time here, but still, it does limit your playbook. You're not running the ball anymore. Right, you can't kill 30, 40 seconds on a run play. So it does kill some time here. I guess that's the only negative. That's what's banging around in my head, too. Go to overtime. Do I want the ball first here? I think if I had a good defense, yes. If I don't have if I have anything but a good defense, then no, I'm probably going to take the ball first.
Yeah. I think most people, though, I really, you know, it's kind of like you say that same philosophy for last year, right? You got a great defense, you hold down to without a field goal, and you get the ball back. Now you can win the game. You run the risk of them scoring a touchdown. So most people will say, just, you know what, I'll take the ball first. So you could kind of use that same thing last year, and I think most people went conservative. I think most people would go conservative and go on defense.
Safe play.
I think. Yeah, that'll be a
safe play. Because if you get the ball second, and we know this is going to happen. Because the more I think about it, the more I really do want the ball second, by the way, because I want to know what I need to do here. But someone's going to do that. And then there's going to be a 9.5 minute drive, and you lost the game. You didn't get the ball again, and that coach is going to get crushed. Even though theoretically, you know, I do kind of like the play, but sooner or later, someone's going to get nailed for it, and everybody you're going to be talking about, I'm going to be talking about, everyone's going to be talking about it. What an idiot that coach is! He didn't even get the ball first, even with the new rules here. So a lot of these coaches are just going to play it safe.
Yeah, Detroit Lions. I think it was proposed reseeding in the postseason. And that division winners didn't get automatic buys in the first round. I don't really have a problem with that. They said no to it. I wouldn't have had a big problem with that. I just don't think there's really – it goes back to the original notion of I don't think there's a need for four divisions in each league. But only four teams. I mean, you're really giving a lot of emphasis on winning your division when it only entails three other clubs. And you get to have home field advantage because of that. I would like it where maybe there's really only two divisions in each league. Maybe three, but not four. We'll talk about it when we come back. Football full circle. We got some NFL props that can't miss as well coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Football Full Circle here on the grid. Scott and George Kurtz for another 45 minutes or so. Just talking, starting out with some of the rules that they implemented and rejected or put to the side, which in essence is rejected, at least for the time being from yesterday's owners' meetings, George. And one of them was Detroit Lions offering up a proposal, reseed, basically allowing a number two, you know, second place or third place team for that matter, you know, to be a number, to get a bye in the first round. Versus each division winner, you know, being automatically put ahead of all second and third place teams. And as I was saying, you know, before we went to break, you know, with four divisions of only four teams, it really You know, that's a big advantage. It really is. You know, and why should Minnesota or Detroit or Chicago or whoever, anybody, but I'm looking at the NFC Central here because it's so strong now. Why should those teams be punished and yet the Tampa Bay Buccaneers of the world be rewarded just because they happen to be in you know, a same division as other good teams versus Tampa Bay, which can win its own division with a 500 record literally the last couple of seasons?
Well, I understand Detroit putting this proposal forward. This argument's been going on for decades now, right? There's always a division that's stronger than everybody else that someone sort of gets screwed out of. I understand that. And the NFC North is sort of that division now, right? Because you, Detroit, good. All right. Green Bay, good. Minnesota, well, we think they'll be good. McCarthy, Chicago coming along here. So, yeah, they probably are the best division in football. So, as a chance, once again, that you could have a 12-win team. Hey, too bad. Lions won 13. You know, I get that. But what's the, A? First off, this happens, like I said, the NFC East was like this for a while, then we had the AFC. I mean, it happens to every division at some point, so get over it. Second is, what's the first goal in training camp or mini camp when you're talking to your players? Win the division. That's always the first goal, win the division. You need. So I do think you should be rewarded for winning the division. I don't care how good it is or how bad it is. I mean, come on. The New England Patriots won their division for 48 straight years, and they always get the home because the division was terrible. Jets bad, Miami was bad, everybody's bad. You know, that's it's just how it goes here. So I understand it, but I don't think I think winning the division is important in all sports here. So I'm fine with it the way it is. I know you complained about the division sizes, and I agree with you. Four in a division is idiotic. But that being said, the scheduling works out really nice that way. You know, you can't go to five because it's six or the 5-5-6, right? One division is going to have six. That's going to screw up the scheduling. So they're not going to do that. I'm not going to change until they get to, 40 teams. You know, I guess they got the 36. You could go 6-6s. So when they add more teams, they would have to add four more teams for you to really get your division changes here. I don't see that changing.
Well, if they added one more game, that would give you 15 games or 13 games, 14 games is 15 teams in the conference. Now the 16 teams in the conference. Yeah, never mind. I was going to say one more. Yeah,
one more. 36 teams.
Yeah.
That'll be the next time they can change the division as far as the size of the divisions. They can always realign if they want to. But you need to get the 36 because then you could go 3-6s, which they would probably have to do. You go 3-6s, then you get it would be fair. No doubt it would be more fair. But come on. The NFL doesn't care about fair. Right? They never have. They only care about money. All right, so this argument wasn't going to get there for Detroit. I understand it, but like I said, I think the Eagles could have complained a couple of years ago when they won 12, 13 games, didn't finish first, didn't make it a home game, whatever. That's life. All right. It's cyclical. Right now, it is the NFC North that's getting screwed.
Yeah. Tush Push lives on for another couple of months anyway, next time the owners get together. They pushed it off. I don't think they're going to pass this, George. We've talked a little bit about it before. I tell you my situation. I don't have any problem with them pushing their quarterback. What I have a problem with is the tush push 10 yards down the field when the wide receiver or running back or quarterback for that matter is being pushed by offensive linemen because the defensive backs can't make tackles because you got five fat offensive linemen pushing this small little running back who couldn't, or a wide receiver who couldn't fall to the ground if he tried. I mean, he literally couldn't fall because the guys are pushing him from behind. The defense is pushing him from in front, so he can't fall down. That's the stuff I hear. There used to be a rule that you couldn't do that, but that all went out the window. And I think that if they did the tush push, if they really outlawed it, then all they would do is just have those running backs that are in the backfield push the offensive lineman, and the quarterback would just go behind it. I think what's going to happen, we're going to have a compromise. I said this yesterday with Lisi. I think the NFL is going to have a point of emphasis. You know, every year, each league with the referees, they always have points of emphasis. Don't change the rules, but just reemphasize certain things, guys. And I think what they're going to tell the referees is you're going to reemphasize once forward progress is stopped, you blow the whistle. Don't let these offensive linemen come in and push and push and push and maybe move a half an inch, and then they overpower the defense. As soon as that quarterback, his forward progress is stopped, the play is dead. And I think that would help quite a bit. I really do.
I think they're going to go nuclear option here, and I think they're going to ban all of this. So I don't have to worry about any of it.
Really?
The fact that his vote got tabled yesterday lets you know that Goodell wants it gone. All right, because if Goodell didn't want it gone, they would have voted, oh, no, it didn't pass here, let's move on. You know, Goodell wants it gone now. Now it was, what, 16-16, and they need to get 24. So they need 8 more votes. Now you can see Goodell going behind the scenes in Green Bay, whatever it might be, and he's going to go bananas, trying to, you know, twist arms to get his votes his way. I think they do want the tush-push gone. I'm not saying I want it gone, by the way. I think it's ridiculous. It's a football play. Just because Philadelphia does it really, really well, and it doesn't hurt, I'm a Cowboy fan, so it hurts us the most, theoretically. Right? It hurts the Cowboys a lot, but it's a football play. They're very good at it. You know, and now we're going to ban it because of that. The NFL is trying to tell you, well, it's because of injuries, yet no data tells you it's because of injuries at all.
Yeah.
You know, that's all BS. You know, that's the NFL just trying to, sugarcoat things. But I think they're going to ban everything. I think they're going to make it what you said. This used to be the rule 20 years ago. It was 2 decades ago. They got rid of this rule. You can't push anybody. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, you can't push anybody. So the offensive lineman can't do what you're talking about. You can't do a tush push here. I think they're going to go back to that rule to stop all of this, assuming Goodell can get those 8 votes.
That's a lot of votes, George. That's all. You know, 1, 2, maybe 3. Okay, 8 votes. To have 8 people flip on this, I don't know. I don't see that happening. I really don't.
Backroom deals.
Yeah. You know, if it's kind of like, you know, politics, right? All right, I'll give you this, but then you got to give me that. Simple as that. You know, if you want this, okay, but then you got to vote for my proposal, which is going to be coming up, you know, on something goofy. But honestly, I'm okay with it with the quarterback. It's up down the field. So, interesting. All right, quick little break. We'll take a look at a couple of more from yesterday's owners' meetings and take a look at some of those props. Got some nice props that you can bet on already, believe it or not, on FanDuel. That's coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hi, welcome back, football. Full circle here on the grid. Scott and George for another half hour, 45 minutes or so. Talking a little NFL. Got some good props. Really, some of these props, I always bring them up. They just don't make any sense when you break it down as far as what's supposed to happen, what should happen, and what number they're giving you. It's almost too good to be true. We'll get to that here in a little bit, George. But a couple more from yesterday's owners' meetings. No tush push. That was pushed off like we talked about. Playoff scenes we talked about. How about putting the ball at the 35-yard line on a touchback? Well, it's amazing. I personally get the conspiracy in me. I don't think they care about, you know, the touchbacks or more kickoffs or player safety or under that mumbo-jumbo stuff they talk about. I just think they want the ball at the 35-yard line. You're talking 2 first downs now, and you're basically in field goal range, right? You start at the 35, you get a first down, you're close to midfield. You get another first down, you're at the opposing team's 40-yard line or so, and the way these guys can kick field goals, you're looking at a 55-so yarder, you're in field goal range after 2 first downs. I think that with scoring down last year, I think they want touchbacks. I don't think they give a rat's behind about kickoffs. Let's start you guys at the 35-yard line, get you that much closer to being in field goal range already. Up the scoring, let's have some fun. I think that's why they did this yesterday. 35-yard line. I think that will limit how many touchbacks you'll see. I think teams will be telling their kickers, no, I'm not giving them the ball at the 35-yard line. What are you kidding me? So I think this will increase kickoff returns. But I don't think that's really their goal. I think their goal is to have touchbacks and start at the 35-yard line.
I agree with everything you said. It'll depend on coaching philosophy, right? Does 5 yards, a 30 or a 35 really make that much of a difference? You know, if you don't want the other team has a good returner, you know, the Cowboys have a very good returner, right? I think teams are still going to blow the ball into the end zone, especially if they don't like the Cowboys' offense. They're not worried about what you're talking about. I guess for the Cowboys, one thing that makes a little bit of a difference is, hell, 1 first down with Aubrey, even if you're in field goal range, right? He can kick 60-plus yarders there,
yeah.
especially indoors. What I find funny about this, Scott, is weren't they complaining that kickoffs were all these injuries? And that's why they were trying to get rid of them, and now they want more of them. I mean, what the hell? Is this the old, don't pee down my back and tell me it's raining? All right, because you already said they don't care about player safety. If they cared about player safety, they wouldn't be Thursday games or Friday games or everything else. They don't give a damn about it. It's all just, you know, we're trying here. So when they get sued, and they will get sued again, they ask, oh, no, we tried. We got rid of the kickoffs. You know, we did this. You can't hit defenseless receivers anymore and everything else. This is also, they can say stuff in court in my mind. Like I said, they don't give a damn about player safety here. I just find this weird. You want to get rid of kickoffs, and now you want them back in the game. But you have this, what do they call it? The dynamic kickoff? Yeah, that's what it is. It's just, It's just silly in my mind, but I agree with everything you said here. I think they want more offense. That's what they always want, more offense.
Yeah. You know, I read an article on this last week when they were discussing things that might be brought up at these meetings. And I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, George, but they said concussions last year on kickoffs were down a certain percent. And this article actually said it went from, like, pick a number, 10, I think it was, down to 7. And, like, this epiphany went off in my head. I said, I knew it. I said, because before all the talk about concussions on kickoffs, I kept on saying to myself, you know, I've watched 1,000 games every single year, and I don't remember seeing that many concussions on kickoffs where they got to change the rules and have these guys now line up downfield like everyone's talking about. It's like, but, you know, all right, maybe I'm missing it. Maybe they're going to commercials. Maybe I'm flipping to another game. But, you know, and then when I saw that figure, 7. They had 7 concussions on kickoffs. There were like 1,000 kickoffs last year when you count all the touchdowns at start of the first half and start of the second half. 7 concussions and like 1,000 kickoffs is next to nothing. What are we doing for all? We're doing all this to save 7 concussions? I mean, they made it seem like there were 70 concussions. Like every single kickoff, a guy's being helped off the field with a concussion, when in reality, it's not even close to being true.
It's all PR. Once again, it's all making you think they're trying to make the game safer. Yeah, when really, listen, they don't give a damn anyway here. And they do want more scoring. And I guess once again, I do think they felt, oh, well, kickoffs are boring. You know, they think the idea was, come on, kickoff? All right, that's a pee break. Yeah, I'll go get a sandwich. You know, you can do all that during a kickoff. They wanted to, I guess, keep butts in the seats, keep eyeballs on the screens here. I also think, by the way, TV has something to say about this too, because if it's a kickoff and you go into a commercial right afterwards and we're all then... We're missing the commercials, too. And ATV is complaining about it. They're missing our commercials because they know that nothing's going to happen here. They're going to get a drink. They're going to make a sandwich. They're going out and get something to eat. You know, so I think, that's again, I truly believe all of that here. But then again, hey, kickoffs, you do have guys running out to each other and colliding. So it should lead to more concussions. But as the numbers are pointing up, maybe it doesn't.
Yeah, really doesn't. Really doesn't. All right, quick break. Mahomes, Hurts, Josh Allen. How about some Sam Darnold props to get into when we come back? Football full circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. It is Football Bubble Circle here on the grid. Scott Wetzel, George Kurtz for another half hour or so. Talking some NFL. Why don't we, George, take a look at some of the NFL props. Listen, it's got to be a good bet to make a bet in April that you're really not going to be able to cash until the following January, maybe February, depending on how long the NFL season goes next season. So, but there are a couple that I was looking at this morning that it's just like, you know, that's not bad. That really isn't bad. Let me throw a couple of your way. We'll start with some quarterback props. Patrick Mahomes, I saw this yesterday, actually, when Joe Lisi and I were doing the show. They have a passing prop for him of how many passing yards for the season? 4,000, 4,000 and a half. They always give you the extra half, so there's no pushes, right? So Mahomes last year, I will tell you, 3,928. But that was by far his worst year. You know, he didn't have Rashee Rice, you know, the whole season. They're counting on a rookie-worthy wide receiver as being their best wide receiver, and he got progressively better as the season went along. You know, before last year, Mahomes threw for 4,183, so we'll say 4,200 yards, 5,200 the year before that, 48 the year before that, 47 the year before that, just over 4,000 the year before that, and over 5,000, nearly 5,100 the year before that. So every single year he's been a starter, he has thrown for 4,000 yards, except last season, which, again, only played 16 games because they sat in the last game, but maybe count on that again this year. Although, you know, with Denver being as good as they are and the Chargers being as good as they are, you might not have that luxury that last game. So, look, 16, 17 games, you have Worthy 1 year under his belt, you get Rashee Rice back. I know Kelsey's a year older, but I don't know how he does it, long story short, throw for 4,000 yards last year, barring an injury, but you could say that about any bet.
Yeah, we'll take the injury. Not like he has an injury history anyway, other than something he always hurts his ankle, which miraculously recovers the next week. But you did say some concerns there. All right, Travis Kelce is a year older. All right, and he was good last year, and especially at times he was very good, but he's still a year older. Sooner or later, follow time's got to hit him. Rice should be back, okay, but that was a major injury he suffered. I mean, he tore everything in that knee. Is he going to be Rice? You know, is he going to be that guy, Scott? Or is he going to be that guy this year? You know, is it going to take him a while to recover from it? You know, to be that guy again here. Is he going to get suspended for what happened? You know, so you got to worry about that. All right, I have nothing but good things to say about Worthy. I think Worthy's going to end up being that guy. So no problems there. Hollywood Brown, I don't know. Smith-Schuster, you know, do they draft the wide receiver? You know, maybe that'll help as well. Well, they draft 31 here. So it either the trade up or somebody falls to them here. So I do have some worries here. That being said, the number's low. The number's low. I can't take the under. Either I'm taking the over or I'm not. Now, I'll be the first person to tell you here, outside of win totals, I'm not betting too many NFL futures right now, mainly because, hey, I just put a ton on baseball futures here, whether it be their win totals, their division winners, home run props up the wazoo here. So I got to slow down my futures a little bit here because I don't want to spend my entire bankroll on futures. Might have gone a little bit bananas in baseball here. Speaking of that, Adam Kaufman's bothering me about my baseball plays for today going on. So, like I said, I got football futures, but not individual player futures, not yet. But, like I said, that number's low. I can't go under. It's either I'm going over or I'm not going to take it.
Yeah, I think the division being a little bit better next year, you know, they won a lot of games last year, not scoring 20 points. 1, 2, 3, 4, 4. You know, 4 out of 17 games. That's, you know, 4 out of 15 wins, 15 wins. That's a lot. I don't think they're going to have that luxury next year. I think, you know, Denver's going to obviously be a little bit better. Chargers are obviously going to be a good football team. Who knows about the Raiders? I just think they're going to have to throw the ball a little bit more at 4,000 yards. Boy, that like I said, if he doesn't get 4,000, then something's really, you know, there seems to be a little fork in the road. People think that Kansas City's going to come back to the pack a little bit because they played so poorly against Philadelphia, right?
4,000 divided by 17. That's 235 yards a game. Oof. 235. That's I can't go under. Because you're sort of banking. If you're taking the under, you're assuming an injury. All right, because what are you going to say? He's going to get 210 yards? I'm like, no. Like I said, it's the over or I'm not betting it for me.
Jalen Hurts, 19 and a half touchdown passes. Had 18 last year, but he's had 22 and 23. The fact that he won, you know, the Eagles won the Super Bowl last year, a lot of it him running, the tush push, and all that other stuff. I think there's going to be a re-emphasis on Jalen Hurts wanting to show the world he's a quarterback who can throw the football. I think he gets 20 touchdown passes pretty easily next year.
Jalen Hurts, in a lot of ways, is the new Troy Aikman. And what I mean by that is, he's not as good a quarterback as Troy Aikman, but Dallas, their passing game was designed to get the ball inside the five-yard line. I mean, I'm the Cowboy fan. I can't tell you how many times Michael Irvin caught a pass at the 3 and went out of bounds. It happened over and over and over again. Yeah. And that's what the Eagles offense is designed to do because, hey, for the Cowboys, Emmitt Smith, they'll run it in. And now you got Barkley, you got the tush push and Hurts. Now, I'm assuming the tush push is still going to be around here. I don't think personally it will. But if it's still around, that's what their offense is designed to do. If they get rid of the tush push, things could change a little bit. But this is another one, Scott, where I can't go under 19 and a half. It's a little more than one a game. In today's NFL, he can't do that. It's a little bit more than one a game, so I can't go under. It's either the over or I'm leaving it alone.
Yeah. And Barkley, God bless him, the great year he had last year, but it's not like he's been injury-free his entire career. Could you not make a case where he's due for an injury next season where he misses, maybe not the entire year, but missed 2, 3, 4 games? Yeah, 18 touchdown passes last season in a year in which they ran the ball to death. They're not going to do that again. So I like that one a lot. Here's one that makes just no sense. Josh Allen, I'll give you the number of touchdown passes he's thrown, and then you guess what the number is. Last, basically every year in the league, 28 last season, 29 the year before that, 35, 36, 37. What do you think they put his touchdown passes number at? 37, 36, 35, 29, 28.
Depends how far back they're going back on the algorithm, right? If it's just the last 2 years, it could be 29 and a half. If they're going back for more 5 years, it should be 31 and a half. So if you're telling me it's less than 29 and a half, this is an over. All right. So I don't know. What's 29 and a half? It was 29 and a half?
Yeah.
It's less 28 and a half.
Yeah.
I mean, 27 and a half. That's nuts. I'm going over. That's an over. He's never not hit it. Other than
last year was his worst year. He had no wide receivers last year, right? None. You know they're going to go out and get somebody, whether it's draft or whatever the case may be, or Kincaid get a little bit better. 27 and a half. He's hit that his last 6 years.
You just named the guy.
What are we missing?
Right? I don't think we're missing any. I understand what the – I'm going the over, all right? Once again, you can't play the under here unless you think Allen's going to get hurt. But I understand Shakir, Coleman, you know, Palmer, Samuel. These guys don't excite you. I get that. Kincaid killed me, absolutely killed me. But James Cook is good at catching the ball out of the backfield as well. He ever touchdowns. Now, this is I like all the overs you mentioned here, but this is the one where I would probably feel the best about going the over. I mean, this offense is built around Josh Allen here. He doesn't ever not hit this. So yeah, I'm gonna take the over.
Yeah. His passing yards as well. They have that listed at 37,775. 37. It is his last 4 years throwing the football. He has, hold on a second, let me just put his numbers up here. 37th and 31 last year. So we did go a little bit under, to be fair. But years before that, 4,300, 4,300 in essence, 4,400, 4,500. Every year he's been a real starter, except his first year, for all intents and purposes. He's hit this number. Very weird. We'll get George's reaction to it. And they are down on the Buffalo Bills, i.e. Josh Allen. For some reason, football circle. We'll talk about it when we come back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Full circle here on the grid. Scott and George talking a little NFL, some props that FanDuel anyway has posted. So FanDuel does, I imagine all the other ones as well. So we're talking a little Josh Allen here with touchdown passes, which the number they're giving you right now, 28 and a half or 27 and a half, is less than what he's had over his last 5 years, which is just crazy to me. And then his passing yards, for all intents and purposes, same thing. They're giving you 37,775. He had close to that last year. He didn't hit it his second year in the league, which was his first year starting the entire season. But all the others, George, well over 4,000 yards. So they're giving you a less number touchdown passes, a really good number of passing yards with Josh Allen. So what do the boys in Vegas know about Josh Allen that we don't? You know, he got a new contract, so he's no longer going to be motivated. I don't get this with Josh Allen either.
Once again, doing a little quick math there, it comes out to 222 yards a game to get that number.
Wow.
Well, I mean, you're not asking all that much. I think what it comes down to is I think they are down on the Buffalo Bills passing game. The receivers we mentioned, there's no one special there. Kincaid, you know, I don't know, spit the bit last year, and he killed me. I had a couple of props on him, just killed me. And maybe it's also because of the emergence of Cook. They have a legitimate run game. They don't need Josh to throw the ball 40-plus times a game here. So I think that's part of it as well. That being said, I can't bet this under. You don't want to bet the over? Yeah. Fine. But, 27.5, 3,700? In my mind, Scott, the only way he doesn't get this is injury. That's the only way he doesn't get this.
I tell you what, and you say that, and it's true, George, in that I've looked at this stuff over the last 2 years, and the numbers are so overwhelmingly in favor of the over. That, you know, I ended up playing like 10. I mean, literally, I would play 10 quarterbacks, 10 running backs, 10 wide receivers. And basically, it all came down to health. That's really what the last two seasons, because you would get numbers like this where it just wouldn't make any sense. You bet the over, and then Derek Carr, you know, misses five games. Tua Tags misses five games. Pick any player. They miss. Guys that get their numbers are the guys that stay healthy, and the guys that don't are the guys that get hurt. So you're really betting on will the guy stay healthy or not. That's, in essence, over the last 2 years of me following this, That's what it's come down to, for all intents and purposes, anyway. And Josh Allen, big, strong. I mean, I know he does run. Maybe they're saying, you know what, it's only a matter of time. As much as he runs and puts his shoulder down and barrels into people.
He plays through injuries, which is what I kind of like. He plays through them. He's not someone who sits out and goes, oh, you know, my fingernail hurts. I can't play today. He plays through it. This is why I kind of like it. Pat Mahomes, the same thing. We joke about the ankle thing, how it miraculously recovers, but, you know, he plays through it. So all I care about, he plays through it.
Yeah,
right? That's yards he's going to get. Maybe he's not going to have as good a game, but he's going to get yards that maybe another quarterback wouldn't have gotten. I wouldn't bet Tua. Right? I wouldn't bet Dak Prescott gets hurt a lot now. You know, guys get hurt all the time. Derek Carr, I'm not betting those guys because I think there is a chance they're going to play 13 games and not 17. But someone like Allen, Mahomes, you know, they generally play through their injuries. But sure, I think you said a great point there. There is a chance sooner or later he is going to get hurt. He does run a lot. Sooner or later he's going to take that hit that he shouldn't take. And he's going to miss some time. But once again, this is gambling. And it's a risk I'm willing to take.
All right, here's one that's not necessarily like great value or good numbers-wise. Just really, what do you think? Did you buy into last year or not? And that's Sam Darnold. 20.5 touchdown passes. They got a number posted to that. At 35 last season for Minnesota, obviously. Now he's with Seattle. Big drop down in who he's throwing the football to. They lose all their wide receivers. Lockett gone, Metcalf gone. But you know he's going to be the starter. He's not getting pulled, I wouldn't think, unless he really does lousy. I mean, you could get 21 touchdown passes in your sleep. Going up against the Rams that are going to score a lot. Niners will score a lot. Arizona, no defense. So, you know, he's in games where he should be able to move the football, throw some touchdown passes. I mean, I'm not the biggest Sam Darnold fan in the world. I'm not. But I think he's going to get 21 touchdown passes.
I mean, boy. Cam's a Seattle fan. Cam will be flipping out if he doesn't get 21, right? Because that means they had a very bad year here, or he got hurt. I don't think he'll get replaced either. Sam Howell's your backup. You know, it's not like he's a top prospect. I guess there's a chance they could draft somebody at 18, you know, Milroe, someone like that. But I'm more wary of this one because that offensive line sucks. It's terrible. All right, this is not Minnesota, which would give him time, and you had great wide receivers there, and you had a really good head coach who was really good at designing plays. If you watch Darnold was so much better in the first half than the second because those scripted plays, he was really good at. They were really good at scripting. And then as the game went on, not so much. You know, you mentioned no more DK Metcalf. You just love JSN, so that's good. Cooper Kupp, had my doubts. There's no way he's playing seven. I would not take any Cooper Kupp props, at least not overs. Unders maybe, but not overs. He gets overtime here. You don't really have a tight end here. You do have theoretically a strong running game. He should get it, Scott, but I'm not taking it. I just have all sorts of worries about Darnold with a new team here. I just don't trust the guy. I think this could be a very blah season for Seattle.
All right. Speaking of Seattle and wide receivers, how about good old DK Metcalf now with the Pittsburgh Steelers? Again, little pop quiz here. I'll give you his numbers. You tell me what you think the number is for him with the boys in Vegas. Receiving for Metcalf over the last, several years. Last year, where everything kind of, you know, up in smoke, 992. Year before that, 1,100. Year before that, 1,000, 1,050. Year before that, 967. Year before that, 1,300. His rookie season, 900 yards. So 900, 1,300, basically 1,000, 1,000, 1,100, and 1,000 last year.
Well, this number is going to be nuts because you can't go by past years because he's not on Seattle anymore. And no matter what you think about Geno Smith, Geno was a decent quarterback. And he made some boneheaded decisions, but a decent quarterback. And we have no idea who the freaking quarterback's going to be in Pittsburgh. And you said I'm not allowed to talk about Aaron Rodgers. First thing you said in the show.
There we go. I knew it. We had to bring him in here somehow or another. We were going to get Aaron Rodgers. We couldn't do it, even if we tried.
I'm just going to say this. I think Rodgers will be the quarterback there. I think he will be the quarterback. So that being said, I don't know what the number is, but if it's under 1,000, I'm going to have to go over it. Once again, quick math tells me 1,000 yards, 17 games is 59 yards a game. How does he not get this if it's Aaron Rodgers at the quarterback?
About 900 yards. That's what they're giving you. 900 and, you know, 0.5. How's he not?
Got to go over.
Got to go over, right? All right, a couple more. We come back. In-game live.
All right,
we'll circle. You're on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, football full circle here on the grid. Scott and George have a little fun here, taking a look at some of the NFL props that, listen, you got to have a good reason, like I said earlier, to put a play in April that you're not going to be able to cash until February. But some of these numbers, they will go up. There's no two ways about it. If you want, I hate this phrase, right? But value, George, now is the time to put these things in, because these props, generally speaking, they don't go down. They really only go up when people start paying attention to it, because most people, when they bet props, they'll bet overs. So when more and more focus becomes on some of these numbers that we're giving you, people are like, yeah, it's Josh Allen, whether it's Mahomes, whoever it is. So they do tend to go up a little bit, and you'd be surprised how that can make all the difference in the world. So, as long as you're not putting too much money down, it's well worth it. Like I said, think about it this way. I always tell people, if you're going to do investing, right, and you're buying, 100 shares of, whatever, Allstate stock, whatever it is, right? You're looking for 10, 15% on your return in a year if you're lucky, right? Here, you're doubling your money. It's 100% return for 6, 7, 8 months. So look at it that way. That helps you, Eddie, as far as not being able to cash out right away. So we had Metcalf, 900 yards, right? He's had that all 6 years. All 6 years he's had 900. So no matter who's at quarterback, I think they made a promise to him that we'll get you to football. And I think they'll go out of their way to do it. So, right?
It's 53 yards a game. By the way, to your point, it's right now it's 900. If Aaron Rodgers signs there, that's going up. All right? They trade George Pickens by the draft or at the draft or whatever it might be, that number's going up. All right, so yeah, you're not going to get a better number than what we got from Metcalf right now, unless you think, once again, that Mason Rudolph's going to be the starting quarterback, or that, what are they, drafting 21, I think, that they don't sign Rodgers, or that they draft the quarterback at 21 and Rodgers goes, nope, not signing with you now, because I don't want to mentor a young quarterback and get replaced. So there is some risk involved there, but I fully believe Rodgers signs there, so I would take this pretty easily.
Yeah. Davante Adams, now with the LA Rams. They got an over-under of 925 yards. Long story short, he's hit that 7 straight years, 8 of his last 9, ever since he really became a starter. Now, he's a little bit up there in age. He clearly is. And somewhere along the line, he's going to fall off. But Davante Adams, Matthew Stafford throwing him the football. Same division as Seattle we talked about before, as far as being able to score, good running game. I will say that, halfway decent defense, so it's, I don't know if they're going to get to that many shootouts, but again, the numbers for him over the years, even last year where everything was just as bad can be with the Raiders or Jets, he still combined for over 1,000 yards. He's had over 1,000, well over 1,000, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 straight years. And again, he's hit this number 7 straight years in 8 of the last 9. Until he falls off the cliff, I'm going to say over.
Yeah, this is an over probably as well. I won't bet it, though, for two reasons. One, he's not the number one there, right? That's Puka Nacua. We know that. Two, chemistry issues with Stafford. Maybe they won't be there. I think they will be. I'm just going to putting out the negatives here. What could possibly happen? Or why I won't do it? There could be chemistry issues there. Maybe it takes him a little while to know the offense. That sort of thing. When we went to the Jets, it was his old offense. He didn't have to learn anything. He already knew it. So there are some worries about that. But the number is really low here. But like I said, Stafford does have eyes for Nacua. Nacua is going to be the number one. I don't think Adams has dropped. On a scale of 1 to 10, he was a 10. Maybe he's a 8.5, 8.8 now. So he's still a really, really, really good player here. But Nacua is still the number one there. So those are my negatives here. When it comes to these kind of props, we're going to have 1,000 of them. So if I have any kind of doubts, I'll stay away. As I think he gets the over. I do. But for me, I'm probably not going to play this one.
Yeah. Which is your favorite one out of all these? You have one? Either the Mahomes or Hurts or the Josh Allen ones? Metcalf, maybe?
I think it's Metcalf. It's 53 yards a game. They're banking on an injury. So even if it's Mason Rudolph, and I don't think it'll be Rudolph, he has to get that. I mean, the Steelers always win 8-9 games. They're always in these things. I think you'll get. I'm going to go. My favorite one's going to be the Metcalf one. Just too low a number.
Yeah, and you take it on a Ravens team that you know is going to score. Take it on the Bengals team you know is going to score. Browns defense, which you know isn't exactly great. I don't know what you're going to get out of them, but you know they're going to be throwing the football a little bit more.
I'm also banking on Rodgers signing there. By the way, I think Rodgers goes there because he has no other choice.
Yeah. That one, and I think Mahomes at 4,000. He's not going to regress that much. He just isn't. George, great job as always. Always enjoy work with you. We'll do it again next Wednesday, as a matter of fact. So football full circle here on the grid. Enjoy your day, folks. We'll talk to you tomorrow.